各位听众您好，欢迎您收听美国之音在2018年10月29号在美国东岸时间早上五点，也就是北京时间下午五点，从美国首都华盛顿开始的中文广播。首先播报国际新闻。印度尼西亚一家国内航线客机星期一升空后不久坠入海中，当时飞机上至少有188人。印尼当局表示，这架狮航集团代号为 JT610 的班机早上6点多以后从首都雅加达一个机场起飞，大约10分多钟之后就失去联络。之后人们在飞机失联附近的海面上看到了疑似坠海飞机留下的遗骸。当局在新闻发布会上称，不清楚是否有任何生还者，救援人员已经被派往出事海面实施营救打捞行动。据称失事飞机是狮航集团最近才添置的一架波音737新款飞机。波音公司称已经得知有关飞机失事的消息，并密切注视事件的发展。美国总统特朗普星期天打电话祝贺波尔索纳罗当选巴西总统。巴西社会自由党候选人波尔索纳罗在当天早些时候举行的选举中，以大约55%的选票击败得票率44%的工人党候选人，赢得总统选举。博尔索纳罗以治理腐败、打击犯罪和振兴经济为竞选纲领，以一个反建制局外人的形象和充满活力的个性，赢得了许多选民的支持和“热带特朗普”的绰号。但是他对1964年到1985年军人独裁统治的钦佩，以及对同性恋、黑人和女性的冒犯性评论，使得许多巴西人感到不安。公开对特朗普总统表示钦佩的博尔索纳罗还承诺会重塑巴西的外交政策，减少对地区多边合作机制的参与，注重双边关系，特别是改善与华盛顿的关系。在对华政策上，博尔索纳罗视北京为谋求主导巴西经济关键领域的掠食者，并誓言会阻止中国大规模购买巴西的能源资产和基础设施。白宫星期天在一份声明中说，特朗普总统和博尔索纳罗当选总统表示要致力于互相合作，并且努力改善美国和巴西人民的生活，并作为区域领袖改善美洲地区人民的生活。中国政府还没有对博尔索纳罗当选巴西总统做出反应。中国外交部网站刊登的今年6月更新的资料称，中巴之间存在全面战略伙伴关系，两国高层交往频繁，在国际事务上合作密切，战贸经济关系取得长足发展。美国和韩国官员再次举行会晤，协调两国对朝鲜政策，继续争取平壤当局履行完全、彻底和可经核实的放弃核武器的承诺。据悉，美国对首尔在平壤当局还没有就去核化采取足够行动的时候，快速与朝鲜签署一系列经济和安全协议表示忧虑。美国朝鲜问题特使史蒂芬·比根星期一在首尔先与韩国外长康京和会面后，与韩国的朝鲜半岛和平与安全事务特别代表李杜勋举行会谈。他说，美国跟韩国一样，也希望结束半岛南北方的对峙，建立半岛和平，但前提是朝鲜放弃核武器。美国参议院司法委员会主席查克·格拉斯利星期天撰文呼吁美国继续在贸易等领域对中国保持强硬立场。来自爱奥华州的共和党参议员格拉斯利在美国福克斯新闻杂志发表的这篇措辞强硬文章说，他完全赞成美中关系被认为是21世纪最重要的双边关系，同时也是最复杂的关系。据《金融时报》报道，美国知名学府康奈尔大学因不满中国人民大学压制言论和学术自由，惩罚支持深圳劳工权利的学生，决定中断两校之间的学术合作关系。报道表示，康奈尔大学暂停与人民大学的两个学术交流和一个研究项目。据信，这是近年来国内大学还有国外大学与中国大学之间中断学术合作的首例。美国之音国际新闻。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
听众朋友们好，我是杨晨，欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程。课程题材以美国的商务实践和文化为主，通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期的课程，第一课的题目是意见分歧第一部分，重点学习发表意见的用语。首先是电话访谈，我们采访了先锋技术公司的副总裁Shirley Graham， 他在加州圣何塞市的办公室接受了我们的电话采访。
Today we'll be talking with Ms. Shirley Graham, Vice President of Advanced Technologies. She is in her office in San Jose, California. Hello again, Ms. Graham.
Hello.
Today we are going to listen to a discussion you had with your colleague, Mr. Mike Epstein.The conversation took place on Wednesday, June 12th of last year. You met with Mr. Epstein in the afternoon after your first meeting with Mr. Blake of International Robotics.
Oh, yes, I remember it well. I wanted to buy robots from United Industries, an American company. Mike believed that we should buy our robots from International Robotics, a Chinese company.
Let's listen to the beginning of that conversation.
Yes, in China. The quality of their product is extremely good, but I don't know anything about their reliability. Can they be relied on to do this by October 1st? You know, we've worked with United Industries before. I think we should just go ahead on the deal with them. I feel sure that they can have everything installed and working by October 1st.
接下来请大家注意听老师给我们示范做一些词句代换。
I don't know anything about their reliability.
I don't know how reliable they are.
Can they be relied on to do this?
Can we count on them to do this?
We've worked with United Industries before.
We've done business with United Industries before.
I feel sure they can do it.
I am certain that they can do it.
下面请继续听我们同 Graham 女士的访谈。
Ms. Graham, let's talk about that discussion. You were concerned about the reliability of the robots from Mr. Blake's company.
Not exactly. I felt that the robots themselves were reliable.But I wasn't sure if Mr. Blake's company could be relied on to meet our October 1st deadline. International Robotics had no experience in the U.S. More importantly, they didn't have an organization based in the U.S. No staff, no facilities.
So you were more comfortable working with United Industries?
Yes, we had done business with them before, and we knew that they could be relied on to meet our deadline.I didn't want to gamble our company's future on something I wasn't sure about.
I understand. Thank you very much for being on our show again.
It was my pleasure.
文化点滴。听众提出的问题是，为什么美国公司会认为和外国公司做生意有困难？
Welcome once again to Culture Tips with Gary Angleton. Today's email question is, Some American companies prefer to work only with other American companies. They say that it is difficult to work with foreign companies. Why is that?
Well, one reason is that different countries have different currencies.
Why is that a problem?
Well, if the exchange rates change, you can lose a lot of money.
I see.
Some companies also worry that differences in language and culture will be a problem.
That can be difficult.
Another reason is that the American government strictly regulates companies that work with foreign companies.
Why do they do that?
They are concerned that the foreign companies may learn too much about important American technology.
Oh, I see.
And some American companies worry about public reaction.
I don't understand.
If American companies buy foreign products, American workers may lose their jobs.
That makes sense. Thank you, Gary.
商务对话，学习怎样表示自己的意见。
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
But Nancy, if we import Chinese toys, we'll have to redo all the packaging. That's a major expense.
Yes, but...
And we'll have to translate all the instructions. I just don't think that it's worth the trouble.
It's true that there will be some extra costs, but in my opinion, it's a good move for us. I'm sure that it will save us money in the long run. The Chinese toys will cost us much less than American toys. We have to find a way to reduce costs. Besides, all the big American toy companies are selling toys that were made in China.
I still feel that we're making a big mistake.
I'm sorry that you feel that way, but I think that we have to do this.
语言功能
I just don't think that it's worth the trouble. In my opinion, it's a good move for us. I'm sure that it will save us money in the long run. I still feel that we're making a big mistake. I'm sorry that you feel that way, but I think that we have to do this.
Gary 提示
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about how to give an opinion. In today's business dialogue, Tim disagrees with his boss, Nancy. In his opinion, the company should not import Chinese toys.One way to express a negative opinion is to say, I don't think, or I just don't think.
But Nancy, if we import Chinese toys, we'll have to redo all the packaging. That's a major expense.
Yes, but...
And we'll have to translate all the instructions. I just don't think that it's worth the trouble.
Nancy disagrees, and she offers her opinion using the expression, in my opinion.
It's true that there will be some extra costs, but in my opinion, it's a good move for us. I'm sure that it will save us money in the long run.
At the end of the conversation, Tim's opinion has not changed. But since Nancy is Tim's boss, she makes the final decision.Notice the use of the expressions, I feel, and I think, to present an opinion.
I still feel that we're making a big mistake.
I'm sorry that you feel that way, but I think that we have to do this.
In business, it is very important to present your opinions clearly and politely. I hope today's tips were helpful.
本星期第二课，我们重点学习了表示相反意见的用语。首先是电话访谈。Mike Epstein 先生从加州圣何塞的办公室打电话给我们。
Today we're talking with Mike Epstein. He's calling from his office in San Jose, California. Hello, Mr. Epstein.
Hello.
Today we're going to listen to your discussion with Ms. Graham on June 12th of last year.It was in the afternoon, after you and Ms. Graham met with Mr. Blake.
Was that the time we disagreed so strongly?
Yes, it was.
Yes, I really wanted to do business with Mr. Blake's company, International Robotics. Their robots were of a higher quality and cheaper than the ones from United Industries.
Let's listen to part of that conversation.
You know, we've worked with United Industries before.I think we should just go ahead on the deal with them.
I feel sure that they can have everything installed and working by October 1st.
Well, look, but there's another argument, Shirley. I agree with you, they haven't established themselves in the States, but that's an advantage. We can get their technology before other companies can if we're willing to take the risk. I think we really have to take that risk.
We can get their technology. We can get their technology before other companies can. We can get their technology before other companies can if we're willing to take the risk. We have to take that risk. We really have to take that risk. I think we really have to take that risk.
Mike Epstein 先生。
Mike, let's talk about your disagreement with Ms. Graham.
Well, she felt that it was too risky buying from a company with no U.S. experience.
Yes, that's what she told us on our last program.
I thought it was even riskier not buying the best technology available. I wanted to buy better robots at a cheaper price so that we could cut production costs.
I understand.
I felt that it was important to get the best technology first.
Which is extremely important in today's competitive environment.
Exactly.
Well, thank you for being on the program again.
I'm always happy to talk to you.
Welcome once again to Culture Tips with Gary Angleton. Today, our email question is, why do some American companies take big risks?
Well, first, American stockholders want companies to increase their sales every year. To increase sales, the companies have to take risks on new products. For example, computer companies produce faster and better computers every year. But a competitor may produce an even faster one.
It's certainly true that computers are getting much faster every year.
Yes, but customers want the fastest computers at cheap prices.
So managers really have to cut costs and produce better products at the same time.
Yes, and companies have to work hard to keep one step ahead of the competition.
What if they fail?
Many companies disappear every year.
That's really sad. It means that people lose their jobs.
Yes, it does. But if they succeed, their profits are tremendous. And, of course, they can hire more people.
Thanks for your information, Gary.
My pleasure.
商务对话。
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Jane, I know that internet startups often make a lot of money. In this case, however, there's too much risk.
But Clark...
Please listen to me for a moment. Comlink.com was only created last year. In their first 6 months, they've lost $500,000.
But with their software, you can talk to your friends and see them on your computer.
Jane, I know their software is good, but you can't invest in that company.
But why not?
For one main reason. Right now, there are four other companies developing similar software. Which one will win the war?
Comlink.com.
I'm not so sure.
Gary 提示。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about how to give a counter opinion.
A counter opinion?
Yes, an opinion that is different from the other person's opinion. Counter opinions are often introduced with the words but or however. Listen to this example from today's business dialogue.
I know that internet startups often make a lot of money. In this case, however, there's too much risk.
In this next example, Jane uses the word but to introduce her counter opinion.
Comlink.com was only created last year. In their first 6 months, they've lost $500,000.
But with their software, you can talk to your friends and see them on your computer.
Notice how Mr. Epstein uses the word but in offering his response to Ms. Graham's arguments.
Well, look, but there's another argument, Shirley. I agree with you. They haven't established themselves in the States, but that's an advantage. We can get their technology before other companies can if we're willing to take the risk.
He uses but to show that his opinion is different from hers. I hope today's tips were helpful.
Thanks, Gary.
第三课我们重点学习怎样概括一种意见和重述一种看法。首先是电话访谈。我们通过电话采访了 Graham 女士，了解她和 Epstein 先生之间的意见分歧。
Shirley Graham is calling from her office at Advanced Technologies. Hello, Ms. Graham.
Hello.
Today, we are going to listen to part of your discussion with Mr. Epstein. It was about choosing robots from United Industries or International Robotics.
Yes, Mr. Epstein believes strongly that we should buy robots from the Chinese company.
International Robotics.
Yes, I was very surprised at his emotional response to my decision. For me, it was a very difficult decision. But for him, the solution was easy.
Let's listen to that conversation.
We can get their technology before other companies can if we're willing to take the risk. I think we really have to take that risk.
Well, I think basically that's what it comes down to, Mike. You want to take the risk, and I really am not willing to. I don't feel I can afford to take the risk.
Oh, but what have I been doing for the last year? I've been looking for the new technology to really make this factory something special, and I think that this is what we need to do. I can't understand why you disagree with this. It's very clear.
You want to take the risk, and I really am not willing to. I don't feel I can afford to take the risk. I think that this is what we need to do. I can't understand why you disagree with this. Ms. Graham, let's talk about that discussion. Mr. Epstein used some strong language.
Yes, he was very upset. Mike felt that he had worked very hard on the project. He felt that his time had been wasted.
But you disagreed.
Yes, he is a very hard worker and has excellent ideas. And there was always the possibility of buying Chinese robots in the future. But Mike wanted them right away.
A difficult situation. Thank you very much for being on our show again.
It was my pleasure.
Welcome back to Culture Tips with Gary Engleton. Today, our email question is, why do American companies invest so much money in high-tech equipment?
Well, American companies want to do everything in the best way possible. And that often requires the latest technology.
Does that strategy work?
Sometimes. The problem is that high-tech equipment is extremely expensive. That means that many companies have big debts.
But don't they make a lot of money from selling better products?
Maybe. But if they don't sell a lot, they may go bankrupt. Buying high-tech equipment is always a risk for a company. Investing in high-tech equipment can also have social costs.
What do you mean?
Some jobs disappear as people are replaced by machines. For example, because of ATM machines, we don't need many bank clerks.
By the way, Gary, do you think that we could be replaced by machines?
No machine could ever replace you, Elizabeth.
Thanks, Gary.
Let's
listen to today's business dialogue.
So we definitely have to lay some people off?
Well, the bottom line is that we have to cut costs fast. If we don't cut costs quickly, we'll have to sell the company.
And laying off workers is the fastest way to cut costs?
Yes.
That's horrible. Why are sales so bad?
Basically, what it comes down to is a lack of success in Asia. Unfortunately, our sales in Asia have dropped significantly.
So who should we lay off?
Well, the board of directors has given us two options. We can cut everyone back to part-time, or we can lay off everyone who was hired in the last year.
I don't like either choice.
Neither do I.
Gary 提示。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about how to summarize and restate an opinion. In today's business dialogue, the company president is summarizing the company position to a vice president. The vice president clarifies the information by using so and by asking questions.
So we definitely have to lay some people off?
Well, the bottom line is that we have to cut costs fast. If we don't cut costs quickly, we'll have to sell the company.
And laying off workers is the fastest way to cut costs?
Yes.
At the end of the conversation, the president summarizes the company's options.
Well, the board of directors has given us two options. We can cut everyone back to part-time, or we can lay off everyone who was hired in the last year.
In Ms. Graham's conversation with Mr. Epstein, she restates Mr. Epstein's position before she makes her own position clear.
Well, I think basically that's what it comes down to, Mike. You want to take the risk, and I really am not willing to. I don't feel I can afford to take the risk.
In business, it is a good idea to restate your position and the other person's position in order to prevent misunderstandings. I hope today's tips were helpful.
Thanks, Gary.
各位听众，这星期我们学习了怎样在意见有分歧的时候表达你自己的观点，提出相反的意见，以及概括总结看法。
Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
今天的商务通英语就复习到这里。谢谢各位收听。我们下星期再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套学习辅导材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。
美国之音 国际新闻。印度尼西亚一家国内航线客机星期一升空后不久坠入海中，当时飞机上至少有188人。印尼当局表示，这架狮航集团代号为 JT610 的班机早上6点多以后从首都雅加达一个机场起飞，大约10多分钟之后就失去联络。之后人们在飞机失联附近的海面上看到了疑似坠海飞机留下的遗骸。当局在新闻发布会上称，不清楚是否有任何生还者，救援人员已经被派往出事海面实施营救打捞行动。据称，失事飞机是狮航集团最近才添置的一架波音737新款飞机。波音公司称已经得知有关飞机失事的消息，并密切注视事件的发展。美国总统特朗普星期天打电话祝贺博尔索纳罗当选巴西总统。巴西社会自由党候选人博尔索纳罗在当天早些时候赢得了选举中大约55%的选票，击败得票率44%的工人党候选人，赢得总统选举。博尔索纳罗以治理腐败、打击犯罪和振兴经济为竞选纲领，以一个反建制局外人的形象和充满活力的个性，赢得了许多选民的支持和热带特朗普的绰号。但是他对1964年到1985年军人独裁统治的钦佩，以及对同性恋、黑人和女性的冒犯性评论，使得许多巴西人感到不安。公开对特朗普总统表示钦佩的博尔索纳罗还承诺会重塑巴西的外交政策，减少对地区多边合作机制的参与，注重双边关系，特别是改善与华盛顿的关系。在对华政策上，博尔索纳罗视北京为谋求主导巴西经济关键领域的掠食者，并誓言会阻止中国大规模购买巴西的能源资产和基础设施。白宫星期天在一份声明中说，特朗普总统和博尔索纳罗当选总统表示要致力于互相合作，并且努力改善美国和巴西人民的生活，并作为区域领袖改善美洲地区人民的生活。中国政府还没有对博尔索纳罗当选巴西总统做出反应。美国和韩国官员再次举行会晤，协调两国对朝鲜政策，继续争取平壤当局履行完全、彻底和可经核实的放弃核武器的承诺。据信，美国对首尔在平壤当局还没有就去核化采取足够行动的时候，快速与朝鲜签署一系列经济和安全协议表示忧虑。美国朝鲜问题特使史蒂芬·比根星期一在首尔先与韩国外长康钦和会面之后，与韩国的朝鲜半岛和平与安全事务特别代表李杜勋举行会谈。他说，美国跟韩国一样，也希望结束半岛南北方的对峙，建立半岛和平，但是前提是朝鲜放弃核武器。美国参议院司法委员会主席查克·格拉斯利星期天撰文呼吁美国继续在贸易等领域对中国保持强硬立场。来自爱奥华州的共和党参议员格拉斯利在美国福克斯新闻杂志发表的这篇措辞强硬文章说，他完全赞成美中关系被认为是21世纪最重要的双边关系，但同时也是最复杂的关系。文章说，他曾经投票赞成中国加入世贸组织，但中国长期以来不遵守其承诺，不遵守世贸组织规则。格拉斯利议员指出，美国知识产权委员会估计，美国在软件和商业机密方面的损失每年高达6000亿美元。据《金融时报》报道，美国知名学府康奈尔大学因不满中国人民大学压制言论和学术自由，惩罚支持深圳劳工权利的学生，决定中断两校之间的学术合作关系。报道表示，康奈尔暂停与人民大学的两个学术交流和一个研究项目。据信，这是近年来国外大学与中国大学之间中断学术合作的首例。康奈尔大学表示，人民大学的几位学生因为在网上支持工人权益和声援深圳嘉士科技的工人要求组建工会的行动而遭到人民大学的惩罚，这是严重侵害学术自由的行为。美国之音，国际新闻。
以下为您重播美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈节目，因为是节目录音，请您不要拨打电话。
各位观众朋友晚上好，欢迎收看美国之音 VOA 卫视10月24号星期三的时事大家谈，我是宇宙。历时9年耗资1000亿的世纪工程港珠澳大桥昨天举行开通典礼，中共最高领导人习近平亲临主持这场被称为各界瞩目的仪式。据报呢，习近平上台之后呢，仅仅说了一句话，宣布大桥正式开通，便匆匆地下台。他并没有在仪式上发表有关中美贸易战和中国自力更生的讲话。有媒体分析，习近平刚刚北上东北，强调自力更生，现在南巡是否要强调改革？他这次南巡同邓小平当年的南巡是否可比？在他的领导下，中国的改革是倒退还是进一步开放？我们今天邀请专家学者来讨论这个问题。一位呢是香港科技大学中国跨国关系研究中心主任崔大伟先生 David Zweig。 崔先生你好。
你好。
那么崔大伟先生呢是通过 Skype 从香港参加节目。另外一位呢是旅美学者吴作来先生。吴先生你好。吴先生呢也是通过 Skype 从美国的加州来参加节目，我们欢迎两位嘉宾，同时呢也欢迎各位听众观众和网友们通过 VOA 卫视在 YouTube 的网上直播来收看，并且加入我们的现场讨论，网址呢是 youtube.com/VOAChina。 那么首先呢我想请问在香港的崔大伟先生，那么这次的这个港珠澳大桥呢是被称为世纪工程，那么与此同时呢它确实也是全世界最长的这个跨海大桥，总长度呢是这个50公里，主桥也是有30公里之长啊。但是呢从这个有人呢就提出了一个这个分析，就是说这个桥呢实际上你可以就说因为3D 的这个车牌呢是没有互通的，那么只有3个车牌同时都有的这个车子呢才能够来进行这个行驶抵达它的这个目的地，那么所以呢花费了这么多的这个钱建造这个桥呢实际上只是一个所谓的面子工程。那么崔大伟先生您同不同意这个看法？
我认为这个不完全是面子的问题。中央北京已经很久就想把那个珠江三角洲这个大湾区就把它的经济怎么说融合一下，就是那么多人有6900万人在这个地区有那么多投资来往特别多，所以我想这个他们考虑了决定要做这个大桥，主要为了扩散那个经济合作，也是为了那个珠江三角洲的那个西部没有跟那个东部那么富荣，没有那么发展，所以在他们的脑子里边，我想主要是也是为了帮助那个西部，那个广东的西部，珠江三角洲的西部，帮助他发展。
嗯哼，好的，谢谢崔大伟先生。那么我想
也可以等一下，也可以现在那个一带一路很多方面都是基本建设，所以这个也是。我也想这个是中国的现在很多发展都是那个基本建设的发展，而且后来这个都为中国有好处。
好的，谢谢崔大伟先生。那么的确呢是中国政府的这个基本建设的这样一个思路啊在这里。那么接下来我想请问在美国加州的吴作来先生，就是说呢刚才呢是崔先生提到了，就这个主要是从经济方面来考虑啊，那么希望整合这个珠三角的它的这个经济。那么与此同时我们也看到呢在政治上呢也有人提出了，就是说这个桥一建立之后呢实质上在从政治上来说是意味着加大了这个中国政府对香港地区的这个控制，那么你有什么看法？
邓小平当时的想法就是，经过五十年，这个香港和大陆啊，基本上政治形态、经济各方面的达到了一个平衡，就基本上实现了某一种一体化。他当时的愿望，我们早期的想法是说，大陆也已经开启了自由民主化的进程，这样两岸在这样一个政治状态、政治自由方面、经济自由方面差不多的情况下，实现一体化。但是现在我们看到的是相反的情况，是大陆这种中央集权社会主义对香港的一种高度的控制、政治控制。在这种情况下，这个大桥就变得非常的尴尬。它两岸三地已经是貌合神离，而且香港的独立实力大家都可以看到，已经是甚至在年轻一代当中成为一个大的趋势，就是分离，精神上的也是一种分离，但是很难在经济上面或者是在政治上面很难实现真正的分离。但是这种分离精神说明了中央政府已经在倒退，或者对香港这种自由化的进程是没有取信于香港的人民。所以他现在这个大桥是为谁建的呢？你搞不清他为谁建的，只是为那些有特权车牌的人建。对中国的经济呢有什么意义呢？200亿投资下去，他是怎么决策的？经济学家、全国人大代表怎么决策的？谁能知道？所以一个无厘头的东西，一个形象工程，他做出来对所谓的中国经济有好处，对中国政府、对中国人民有好处，都是完全是一个虚拟的一个美好的一个说法而已，是基本上是没有任何好处，完全是一个利益集团的一个投资行为。这200亿后面怎么决策的？哪一些家族成为这个建设集团的一个主力？这是一切问题的核心。它与这个国家、与这个国家的人民毫无关系，就是这么一个事实啊。
嗯哼。
至于说到习近平先生的这个南巡。什么乾隆什么康乾隆南巡，皇帝才是南巡。邓小平当时到南方发表讲话，是为了警告江泽民不要搞倒退，不要走这个社会，不要重新走这种毛泽东的道路。
嗯哼，
所以才有邓小平的这个到南方发表讲话。
好的，那么吴先生就是吴先生关于这个这次这个所谓的这个南巡呢，我们等会儿再会进一步的讨论。那么事实上说到这个大桥的本身呢，我们也注意到一个细节，就是说这个桥的这边就是中国大陆呢是这个右行，但是到香港呢就是左行，就这个问题也都不知道会怎么样的这个解决啊。那么接下来我想请问在香港的这个崔大伟先生，就是说呢实际上就关于习近平这次昨天出席这个仪式呢，也引发了这个坊间的一些很大的这个议论啊，有非常多的这个观察。比方说呢事实上在这之前呢，香港已经有政府的这个官员对外说过，说习近平在这个仪式上呢将要发表这个重要的讲话，但事实上呢这个习近平只是说了短短的12个字就走下了台，和其他的这个嘉宾呢来握手。那么我想看看您在香港的话呢，这个香港方面是怎么样对习近平的这次出席仪式的这个举动和这个包括他的这个行踪呢做出怎样的这个观察呢？
我没注意看那个中文的报纸，我就是看那个英文的报纸。
好，
他们就谈到他来了，这次来了，第一个他们谈到那个安全，怎么保护他的安全。第二个方面他们也提到他谈到没说自力更生，但是他又提到了在中美的那个怎么说那个贸易的那个战争下应该扩大独立的比较独立的创新的那个能力。所以他没有来跟原来跟邓小平的南巡，邓小平的南巡基本上是为了恢复那个改革，是 苏联垮台以后，天安门以后，苏联垮台以后，跟第二个教授刚才说，就是为了警告江泽民，把那个改革又恢复了，又提高。但是这次一方面也是为了帮助广东省又恢复它的经济情况，又恢复它的发展。我想在这方面，一句话不是最重要，最重要是给钱，给权力，给地方也给权力，而且花了不少钱，为了融合那个整个的那个三角珠江珠江三角洲，关于那个控制不控制的那个问题。我想在香港有两个观点。
嗯，
一个观点是那个商人和有一部分，那当然那个政府人员，但是他们有一部分人，不少的人认为香港的将来只有一个路，就是跟大陆联系，越多越好。在经济方面需要跟大陆合作。年轻人他们肯定不喜欢这个大桥，他们认为那个大桥和那个那个很快的那个铁路这些东西，这些基本建设都是拿以香港的预算把香港的独立和大陆的那个联系用的钱控制香港，肯定有不少的年轻人他们不觉得他们是中国人，他们觉得他们是香港人，所以他们看这个，他们感觉这个是为了肯定是他们觉得是为了控制他们和但是也有很多中派的，现在很在香港有，原来是基本怎么说两极分化，现在有一个中部的一个新的那个观点，这个观点也是说香港的出路必须和大陆联系。
好的，谢谢崔先生。那么总而言之呢，就是根据崔先生的这个观察和分析呢，就是在香港呢，至少是有这么一派，他们认为就是这个大桥通了之后呢，在政治上对香港是不利的。那么是以这个，如果是双方在经济上有合作的这个更大的空间呢，是以香港的这个它的自由、民主，它的这个更加文明的这个政治制度和气氛作为代价的。接下来我想请问这个吴作来先生，您对我们的这个观众朋友他们的评论，你有什么样的这个回应？
这个网友讲得非常好。基本上那情况呢，就是事实是它反映了很多大陆的这个网民一种普遍的看法，就习近平先生现在他应该得积极推进中国的政治民主的进程，但是他没有，反而大踏步的才搞个人崇拜以及走向文革。他的父亲在深圳确实做了很多的事情，而且特别是让很多这个逃难的人们这个逃到了香港，所以外地的人没有开枪扫射，这他的父亲是严格来讲也是了不起的一个改革开放的一个领袖级的人物，这个是毫无疑问的。但是他不能贪天下之功，为自己的家庭，为自己所有，这是应该的。那么习近平现在应该反思一下，他的父亲为什么能够做到能够在这个边境的地方能够让很多的人自由地逃离大陆进入香港，而他现在自己呢只能忙这样一些华而不实毫无意义的事情，花巨大的力气，花巨大的这个花巨多的美金做这些这个对国家对国民几乎没有用处的事情。他应该对比一下自己与父亲的这种差距，对比自己与这些改革开放的早期的这些领袖人物的这个差距，这是他应该做的。所以说习近平南行根本谈不上南行，他只说了12个字，他应该一个字都不要说，说一个字都多余的，因为这些事情与他呢都毫无关系。他如果真是有良心的话，他当时不是说话的问题，他是应该泪流满面， 国家花这么多的资金，中国那么多的孩子还在贫困线下，连午饭都没得吃，这200个亿就挥洒在这样一个形象工程上了。所以他应该，我们应该看到他泪流满面，他不应该叫南巡，他应该叫窜访啊。中共的领导人喜欢用这样一个词儿叫窜访啊，这个词对他来讲，对中共的领导人来讲是非常形象的，因为他做的这些事情都好，对老百姓几乎没有什么意义，而且与这个整个世界文明的进程也是背道而驰。整个现在是国际市场，粮食市场都是国际化，他到东北去要求老百姓继续的自力更生，这怎么可能呢？中国大量的农业农民都是在手工操作，怎么能和这个整个像美国像欧洲这样一个大农业完全机械化这个相比呢？搞闭关自守，然后来鼓励老百姓重新吃二茬苦受二茬脆，这个是中国人民真是不能答应的。所以我们希望习近平先生回头是岸，不能在这种错误的道路上继续的这个人类的文明背道而驰，这是我们应该告诉他的一个真话啊。他应该作为习仲勋的儿子，而不应该做毛泽东的孙子，去扮演毛泽东的形象，只会重复前苏联、东欧，重复这样一些悲剧，对于中国、对于整个人类都是一点好处都没有。谢谢。
好的，谢谢吴作来先生。那么在香港的崔大伟先生，那么刚才呢吴先生是讲这个习近平现在呢基本上是在这个在政治方面呢是在实行这个倒退啊。那么我想问问您，在经济方面呢，这次呢习近平他的这个所称的这个南下或者南巡呢，他也参观了视察了两个企业，那么这两个企业呢都是这个私企，那么一个呢是珠海的格力电器，另外呢是横琴岛的这个中医药开发园。那么有分析说呢，就是他这样一个举动呢是表示他对中国私企的这个支持，那么希望他们能够继续的这个改革开放，那么同时呢也是说呢，就是说他这么做的话呢，就是他也讲了这个话，他说呢是事实上中国呢要从大国发展到强国的话呢，这个实体经济是关键所在，而且呢要致力于这个自己的这个研发啊，自己的这个创新。那么但是呢也有一些评论说，比方香港的这个政治分析人士林和利说呢，说习近平尽管做了这个视察私企的这个举动，而且呢他也发表了这样的这个言论，但是呢我们看到中国现在的情况呢，就是说私企没有办法存活，他们必须要主动的投靠国企，那么还有呢就是国企入股私企，那么所以呢习近平他的这个举动呢只不过是作秀之行，那么中国国内的民企呢是不会相信他所说的话，那么您怎么认为？
我同意，我想中国的经济现在在一个很难的比较难的情况，而且很多人就开始认为习近平虽然2013年他提出来一个很大的那个三中全会提出来一个很大的改革，大家都在挡这个改革。我最近在南方早报去年十九大以后，我写一篇文章，我就是说习近平自己说他需要那么多权力是为了帮助国家发展，把第三个新的一个时代，就是为了完成他自己的那个中国梦这方面的。但是我就是写现在他有那个权利，他说他需要这个权利 ,OK, 他现在有这个权利，那改革在哪儿？来是三中全会的那么多改革基本上就没有了。所以从这个角度也可以看，他本人可能不没有一个很大的想法，怎么很快就解决中国现在的问题，他就很可能六合跟他一起来了，他的那个副总理。可能有一些想法关于那个市场经济，私营企业， 应该多给那个私人企业、私营企业多给他们钱，少给那个 SOE 那个怎么说那个国家的那个企业，不要给他们那么多钱，因为他们浪费这个钱。所以在某些方面，我不否定，现在习近平川给他很大的问题。习近平自己的什么一带一路，现在有很多人在很多国家也反对，所以我认为习近平不会被打倒了，他的那个权力比较巩固的，但是可能他现在有的人就开始认为他有很多问题，他必须解决，但是这次他来广东到南方来，不像邓小平这样的男生把发达那是那把那个整个的改革就发出来的，这个是不可能的。
好，接下来我也请这个吴作来先生做简单的回应，同时我也想问你，就刚才呢这个孙波这位他也提到了关于这个澳门中联办主任郑晓松坠楼的事情，我想请您做一个评论，就是说从这个郑晓松呢是在习近平访问前的三天突然坠楼身亡，那么还有呢就是习近平在这次这个仪式上的罕见的只讲了12个字就匆匆的下台，那么从这些的这个现象这个意向来看的话呢，您有什么样的这个观察？
郑晓现在官场跳楼，那是一个好像是比较普遍的一个现象。因为他面临着不可解决的问题，比如说调查他的腐败，或者是中央布置给他的任务，他无法完成。还有一个就是他看到这种惨不忍睹的这种现状，他无法去面对。就良心发现之后，他觉得这种给共产党当官就是一种造恶，他不如死了算了。这每种情况下，情况现在我们只能说这三种可能都是存在的。习近平先生他一句话都没有，他确实现在面临着巨大的一个困境。他作为共产党的领导人，他必须要消灭私有制，但是他现在又不得不去提倡私营经济也要发展起来，因为他可以维护共产党的稳定，向共产党交税，更多的人向共产党交税，而且更多的人有就业的机会。而国有企业，我们看到这个港珠大桥，它就是一个国家工程，国有企业工程，它是不计成本的，国家所有的资金投进去了，值多少产出完全不管。更为重要的是，这些国有企业的领导人都是有级别的，地方政府啊很难对他们进行一个控制或者吃他们，而私营企业既无法从银行那儿贷到款，然后地方各个机关僚包括城管都可以找他们麻烦，都可以来吃拿卡要，所以中国的民营经济在这种体制下是不可能发展起来的。这种体制就决定了中国的这个民营企业家的悲剧性的命运，所以更应该跳楼，更多的跳楼的没有被披露出来，可能是那些民营企业家。所以习近平的悲剧呢，它是一种既有体制方面的原因，这个制度决定了他这个悲剧性的命运，另外他自己个人的认知，对世界的认知，对美国的这个关系没有搞好，都如他的个人的这个认知和他的这个团队智囊团队有关。大量的左派，大量的红二代都在簇拥他成为这个红色皇帝，这些体系，这些人需要这样一个新的皇帝，然后他就满足了他们的需要，满足了这样一些送圣的人们，红二代还有这些保守势力，这些国有企业满足了这样一个权贵集团，新的红色权贵集团的利益，他就不可能对民营经济，不可能对顺应这个世界的潮流，他的悲剧性的命运是这样造成的。
好的，时间的关系呢，今天时事大家谈的讨论到这里就结束了，我们没有办法分享所有的听众观众朋友的这个分析，感谢崔大伟先生和吴作来先生参加节目讨论和分享见解。时事大家谈是自由的论坛，嘉宾和听众观众发表的都是个人观点，不代表美国之音。明天的时事大家谈我们将讨论日本对华援助为何40年无人知晓，我是宇宙，祝你晚安，我们下次节目再见。